Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:18 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 18th. And today it was really all about the positive news coming out of Moderna that they think that their vaccine works. Now, the two big pieces of news coming from them was, first, that they think it's safe. Now, of course, we have very limited data, so it's a bit early to draw a conclusion just yet whether it is in fact safe. But then they are also pretty sure that they are providing a solution that will allow the body to develop antibodies for the coronavirus, and that it is producing enough of an immune response to compare with anyone who has survived the illness. And that is enormously positive. It further confirms the estimate that there will be a working vaccine available by the third quarter. Now, quite when in the first quarter might be, excuse me, in the third quarter is still up for debate, because they need to go through their full phase 2 trial and then onto a phase 3 trial where there will be thousands of volunteers inoculated against COVID-19 and then purposefully infected with it. So then we will know for sure whether it is effective. But it's probably going to take some time before we know for sure whether it is in fact safe, and what are the knock-on consequences of these types of genetic solutions. Because the reason that the company has been able to come up with this solution so quickly is because it is brand new technology. Now, we do have other examples of where these types of mRNA solutions have been used, but it's almost all in the immuno-oncology sector, because by and large, when you have these new types of solutions coming out, then what you're presented with is a challenge, and that is to overcome the regulatory burden. And it is inordinately expensive to bring a new drug to market. Well, by going for small diseases, orphaned diseases, or cancer, which is fatal, then they can overcome the regulatory hurdle. And they've been experimenting in immuno-oncology by creating custom solutions, because every cancer is genetically individual. So by creating custom solutions, they have been able to first clearly demonstrate that they can provide solutions, and second, that they are at least so far safe. Of course, this also opens up a very broad path to commercialization if they can in fact clearly demonstrate that it is both safe, effective, cheaper to produce, and faster to market. Then the conventional pharmaceutical sector is in real trouble, because conventional pharmaceuticals rely very heavily on chronic diseases. And chronic, of course, is a fantastic cash flow generator, because there's no cure. They're only providing treatments with one-shot therapies. And vaccines are obviously a good example of a one-shot therapy. Then you alleviate chronic conditions. And chronic conditions are one of the biggest drains on healthcare services. When we think about the amount of money that gets spent on treating people with everything from obesity to diabetes to arthritis and Alzheimer's or cystic fibrosis, these are all potential solutions that the genetic one-shot therapies can in fact deal with. So this is potentially a very lucrative area of investment to be in for the next 5 years, particularly with the Nasdaq biotech sector breaking on the upside. But of course, it had a much wider effect on the stock market in here today. So I thought Boeing was particularly interesting, because it popped on the upside in the end of March, going from about 90 to almost 200 in a very short period of time. Then it gave up a good portion of that advance, but then it popped on the upside in here today, and it has now broken that sequence of lower rally highs that's been in evidence for the last 6 weeks. So that is a meaningful development. One of the better performers on the S&P today was United Airlines, and it has bounced from the lower side of its evolving range. The potential that we're not looking at a two-year window for a vaccine, but rather perhaps a six-month window, is obviously good news for the hardest-hit sectors, particularly the airlines, the plane manufacturers, and the hotels. This is really quite good news. I am putting up logarithmic scale charts to put into context just how much they have bounced from their lows, and the particularly for Marriott, the fact that it does have a succession of higher reaction lows now since that low in March. Now, that does not mean that we are going straight back to the peaks. There is still going to be a lengthy period of time before they can get back to full occupancy in their hotels, before people can really forget about the coronavirus and social distancing. The fact that China has locked down again almost 100 million people in the northeast of the country is a clear indication that this first outbreak has not yet been brought under control. Then we have the additional point that it is almost towards the end of May, and temperatures in Europe are going to be rising pretty quickly as we head into the summer. The vast majority of homes in Europe do not have air conditioning. That is going to push people out onto the streets. And there is obviously the potential that there is going to be a further outbreak of the coronavirus over the summer in Europe. Then we have the clear, incentive for Europe to start opening up again, and not least because they need to gain something from the tourist season. Without the tourist season, there are going to be vast swathes of the Portuguese, Spanish, French, Italian, Greek, Turkish economies that are going to be in really dire straits. So there is obviously the potential that 2020 is going to be the year that time stood still for the tourist industry in the south of Europe, which is, of course, why they are now trying to open the beaches up once more. The vast majority of indices in Europe were up in the region of 4-5% in here today. So popping right back up to the upper side of the range that's been forming now for about 6 weeks. This is at least demonstrating that we have two ranges now, and they are one above another. And there is the potential that we're going to further unwind the overextension relative to the trend mean. That is also equally the case for the UK. The rebound has been less impressive for the FTSE 100, not least because of the relative strength of the pound versus the euro, but then also the fact that there are a number of large oil companies in the FTSE 100. If we look at the FTSE 250, on the other hand, then there is this range one above another, and it is bouncing from the lower side of the current range. The pound had been pulling back last week. It was in mildly positive territory in here today. The clear Rubicon is the region of the 200-day moving average, but it has at least steadied from the 120 area. There is some speculation that the UK is going to go for negative interest rates. I'm rather skeptical about that conclusion. But one thing that we do know is that the UK is going to have a new central banker, and the market has a way of testing central bankers. One thing also that we know is that the bond yields are starting to back up again, and the 10-year Treasury yield was up about 8 basis points in here today. When we think about the gilt, then it was also up in here. Now, it hasn't quite yet broken that sequence of lower rally highs, but it is steadying again from the 20 basis point level. When we think about the German 10-year, then it was also the yield was also in positive territory in here today. I do think that the rationale for owning German government bonds is not nearly as compelling at present as it was perhaps in March, for the simple reason that it is increasingly likely that there is going to have to be some form of assistance provided to the southern countries, particularly Italy, and that when that happens, it is going to be Germany is going to end up paying for it. So that is also being highlighted here with the fact that yields in most countries have been rising today, but in Italy they were compressing. So that spread between Italy and Germany is now starting to contract. And that was a necessary condition to really highlight that some of the pressure coming to bear on the southern European countries is moderating. And obviously, the news about the potential for a vaccine is a very good news scenario for most of Europe generally. Then, when we look at precious metals, silver was up in a dynamic manner for part of the day and then gave up the advance towards the close. Then, platinum was up approximately $50 at one point, closed off the peak but held on to more of the gains, and it is now right in the region of the trend mean. What I think is more important for both of these charts is that they have now clearly demonstrated a failed downside break. And while the region of the trend mean does represent a potential area of resistance in the very short term, the failed downside break is by far the more important characteristic. Gold prices were in negative territory in here today. Did not quite form a downside key reversal, but we also know that we are quite overextended relative to the trend mean. There may be some additional selling pressure if enthusiasm about the potential for a vaccine does continue to build. But the one point that we have to bear in mind is that the reason gold has been doing so well is because of the massive provision of liquidity, and that is not going to stop. In fact, the continued outperformance of the kinds of shares that do best when there is a surfeit of liquidity, that I think really does help to just underline the fact that it is liquidity is fueling this market. Netflix, for example, was at a new all-time high on Friday, and the high today was also at a new high. The fact that it has been able to sustain the move up and onto new all-time highs, the fact that Tesla is in the region of its peak, the fact that Amazon has been able to hold its breakout, these are all very supportive of the fact that it is the provision of liquidity is contributing to their continued outperformance. And that's also a factor in terms of Nvidia's clear outperformance over the course of the last few weeks. At some stage, the Federal Reserve is going to start to taper in a more aggressive fashion, but that's literally impossible in the near term. They have been reducing the number of bonds they've been buying. That's certainly been a phenomenon over the last 3 weeks. But the demand for funding from the US Treasury is going to ramp up progressively over the summer, and it could potentially then become a significant issue as we get into the third quarter. The Federal Reserve is going to have to increase the supply of money to ensure that there are willing buyers for that excessive amount of debt that's going to be created. That is going to necessitate that the size of the Fed's balance sheet is going to continue to rise. And it did take another leg higher last week, but It is more than likely going to be at 10 trillion by the time we get to the end of this year. That's the primary factor that is helping to support these markets. We may even get the S&P 500 back up into the region of its peak. We may get the NASDAQ 100 all the way back up towards that psychological 10,000 level. But we also know that the easy part of the rebound has already occurred. The clear outperformance of the cloud sector has been a very significant factor. I think it is really quite a point, or it's a point well made that any company that isn't heavily engaged with creating an online presence and moving data into the cloud is going to be at a competitive disadvantage over the course of the next few years. So that is certainly the bull case. The bigger question is how much of that is already in the price. Then we have the fact that Google is looking at a class action lawsuit from various states because of its actions in giving preferential treatment to various ads. Then, of course, there is the fact that it tends to censor the views of people it doesn't agree with. We have the additional point that we don't yet know how well subscription revenue is going to hold up for all these businesses that have adopted a subscription revenue model during a recession. And we're not really yet at the end of the coronavirus. There is the potential yet that it could still result in flare-ups, that there will be isolated instances where we're going to have rising cases, and that there's going to be still a lot of uncertainty for the next 6 months. But the bigger point is that the massive amount of liquidity that's being provided is ensuring that a lot of companies that would have gone bust otherwise are being rescued. And that represents a significant risk of zombification of the bond market. The high yield sector has certainly been rescued by the Federal Reserve. It was again in positive territory in here today, but it is not rebounding in the same way that the stock market is. There is obviously still the clear potential that some companies are going to be downgraded. They are going to continue to get support from the Federal Reserve, but that is something that cannot last indefinitely. And in fact, if we think about what is the pattern that the Federal Reserve will start to remove stimulus, well, the first thing they will do is remove their support from the corporate bond market before they ever begin to remove support from the treasury market. So there are still risks in the high yield sector. But as long as there is the continued promise of liquidity, then monetary policy beats most other factors most of the time. And today was a positive performance all round for stock markets, but I would hesitate to think that we're completely out of the woods. There is the very clear potential that a number of the most highly indebted companies are going to experience very lengthy periods of consolidation, and that is in a best case scenario. And there is obviously still, well, obviously there is a lot of enthusiasm about the Moderna vaccine, and it has done spectacularly well in terms of stock market performance over the course of the last 6 weeks. There is the potential that we do have it ready by or permissioned by the third quarter, and then it's going to take time to manufacture it and get it into as many people as want it. And that is all a lengthy process. So we've had a lot of pricing in of very good news in a very short period of time. And the bigger question is whether that has already priced in a lot of that good news. There is no room in the market right now for any disappointment. And there is obviously a clear reliance on the Federal Reserve and other central banks to continue to print money. That, I think, is going to help to support the gold price on the medium term. Any way we come out of this crisis, the value of the money in our pockets is going to be downgraded and debased. And that is a clear tailwind for the precious metal sector overall. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.